Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94. We are recording this as yet again Sri Lanka fallen short at the Wanker Day. I'm Mark Chardo from the Mirror End, and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vazudevran from the Papere. Estelle, we are collecting our thoughts because it's been less than 24 hours at the point of recording this where Sri Lanka suffered a two-run agonising loss to India in the opening T20 off the three-match series in Mumbai. Estelle, what were your kind of initial thoughts and takeaways after the match?
Yeah, that was a lot closer than I think a lot of people expected, wasn't it? Because Sri Lanka really, really, really got close. I think it's tough to kind of, it's a loss that's a bit tough to stomach because you feel like that's about as good an opportunity as they're going to get on this tour to get a win on the board, particularly in the first game of the tour. Would have been incredible to get that win, but it wasn't a two-run loss. Hopefully that gives them more confidence and, you know, makes them believe that they are on the type of level where they can compete with a team like India.
Yeah, I was surprised that there wasn't many changes, or there was no changes, basically, from what I would consider the starting kind of batting lineup. There's a few changes in the bowling department from that finish, the T20 World Cup, which the last time we saw Sri Lanka play T20s. Dilshan Madushankar came in. He's fit. He did start that tournament, or we were expecting him to have started the tournament if he was fit. And Kasun Rajasekhar got the nod ahead of Lauri Kumara. I wasn't expecting them to go with those two. I think in the end, maybe if they bowled a bit tighter, that's, you know, not to single those two players out, but just in general, if our bowler was slightly tighter, we might have gotten over the line. It was a weird game to watch, though, because kind of at the halfway stage after India's innings, I thought we should be able to chase this down. But we just started batting so badly. And I'm just so sick of Sri Lanka starting series or tournaments just so badly. It just seems to have been an issue that it's I can't remember the last time we won the first match for series. I don't know what it is. We just need a game to get our heads into gear, right?
Yeah, I mean, you say that maybe if they bowled a bit tighter, but I still think 162 should have been chased down, right? It wasn't a typical Mumbai pitch. It wasn't, you know, maybe not a 220-run pitch, right? But still, I think having kept that Indian batting lineup to 162, Sri Lanka should have chased that down. I mean, Kasun Rajasekhar, I can see where the selectors are coming from, right? Picking him for this game. He was surprisingly good during the World Cup. And then, you know, in the LPL, he got a lot of wickets. Of course, conditions were different. So I can understand why he was picked. I just feel like maybe it's also to give a player like him a bit of consistency, because if you just look at the 2021 World Cup, right, where Lahiru Kumara, we go back to that game against South Africa, where Kumara got hit for 16 and Sri Lanka lost that game. It was maybe the first or very early, one of the few times where Kumara had actually bowled in the death, right? And we've spoken about this before, how Sri Lanka cricketers more or less have to learn on the job. They have to learn their skills at international cricket level, which is not ideal, right? So similarly for Rajasekhar also, this is not I wouldn't say it's a role that he's been playing for the last few years, even for his club. he's very much a new ball bowler. He has very much been looked at as someone who is a red ball prospect. So this is still very much a new role for him. So I don't really mind them playing him in that. We don't have, I mean, this T20 bilateral series is basically inconsequential, right? You can try a few things. So in that sense, I wouldn't mind it. But to be honest, I would have liked to see Nuwan Tushara or Lahiru Kumar in that side. Just they do seem like better T20 prospects.
Just going back to India's innings, I kind of came away from it at halftime thinking, I'd have taken that as a Sri Lanka fan before. I'd have taken 162 before at the start of the innings. However, after watching the way we bowled and watched the way India played, I think we probably gave him about 20 extra runs. Getting some comments coming. I'm just going to answer this one very quickly. This is from Kay Singh, because he's asked, where can you watch these matches in the UK? I think this is a great question, because unusually, this is an India series that doesn't appear to be on any channels in the UK. I'm currently in Australia at the moment, where I can watch it on Fox Sport or Fox Cricket. I can't remember what the name of the exact channel is. I think in the UK, the only way to watch it might be to subscribe to an ESPN subscription. That's what people are talking about online. Yes, they will answer more questions later on the show. I just saw that question and thought I'd bring it up. Estelle, I want to ask you about Sri Lanka's batting, because Sangakkara was on comms yesterday, and he was very critical of the way we'd gone about our batting, almost to the point where the new thing on this podcast seems to be to be accusing people of becoming a Sri Lankan parent, a Sri Lankan father or mother. But Sangha was like, he was really laying into I thought he was really laying into some of the players yesterday, and he was quite critical of the top order. I think ultimately, actually, if you look back on that performance, it was in Sri Lanka's lack of runs at the top of the order that was the reason we weren't able to get over the line in the end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about Chamika Karunaratne and, you know, what happened in that last over. And I guess we will discuss it later on in this pod as well. But if you look at Sri Lanka's batting, that top order, I would kind of exclude the openers who have kind of been to a degree consistent, but 3, 4, and 5 have not produced good enough innings in the recent past, right? I don't think Bhanuka Rajapaksha has a 40-plus score since that brilliant half-century he made in the Asia Cup final, even considering like the LPL, right? Dhananjay De Silva has maybe 150 during that period of time. Didn't feature right throughout the LPL. He did feature in a couple of early games. Charit Asalanka has looked in good form, but hasn't got the runs that Sri Lanka requires. So I was disappointed, to be honest, seeing Sri Lanka going with that same batting order. Like I mentioned before, this bilateral is almost inconsequential, right? Like, apart from getting used to the conditions in India, where we will hopefully be playing the ODI World Cup later in the year, there's no other, you know, there's no other reason, importance in this T20 series, right? So why not try out guys like Sadira Samaravikrama, Avishka Fernando, who is coming in from injury. So I was really disappointed to see that. It's the thing with Sri Lanka cricket, I think, is the fact that because we don't play as much as some of the other big teams, you, in a sense, you can't give players such a long rope, right? You can't keep them on while they keep failing repeatedly. And the other thing is, I think someone like Sadira, who has shown good form, Avishka, who has shown good form, now's the best time to get them in and get them some confidence, right? You keep them on the bench for this tour, and then you bring them in New Zealand or wherever Sri Lanka tour next, and they fail and they're out again. So that, I mean, that doesn't help anyone. And that's happened to Sadira in the past as well. So I just feel like it's a pity leaving guys who seem to be in good form on the bench. Of course, we don't know if the form of the LPL is going to translate to international cricket, but you'll never know unless you give them the opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's real question marks there over Bhanuka Rajapaksa's place in the side. as you say, he hasn't done a huge amount since the Asia Cup final. I think the way he's gone about not trying to play ODI cricket to me seems a bit strange. And yeah, you just wonder what his role is in the side. We seem to have the emergence of a couple of other players in the side who can score runs quickly as well. And Barnacle's strike rate seems to have just fallen apart since that Asia Cup win.
My favorite kind of phrase I saw yesterday from it was, did you see a tweet Madhushka Balasuriya had posted about his hypothetical explosiveness? He's not good enough to keep him in the side for so long. And
yeah,
that's right? And that doesn't apply just to Barnacle Rajapaksha, even someone like Asalanka or DDS, right? Their promise shouldn't be what's keeping them in the side for this long. Sure, you get into the team based on your promise. You're given an opportunity. But you need to be getting runs at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because Barnacle seems to have, in a way, his game has totally changed. Where, as you say, it's his hypothetical promise. But I now see him chewing up deliveries. And then I think when he's at his worst, he's chewing up deliveries and he's getting himself out because it's almost like you can feel the pressure on him to try and hit a boundary. Yesterday was a great example of that, where he's had to basically slice at a shot, I thought, that was just never going to work, and he gets caught, and you're like, that is a classic Barnu in bad form moment, where maybe he just needs to step back a little bit, think about what he's doing, and come back refreshed, or whatever he needs to do to find some form. I don't know. Estelle, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about Dustin Sharnicka.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Shrigani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
That's right. If you haven't already done it, go and download the 99.94 app. You get great insight into all the, I want to say all the major teams. That's not quite right, but there's a few more joining in the near future. But if you want to know what's going on with England, South Africa, the West Indies, Australia, and India, 99.94 is definitely the place to be, and you can follow 99.94 across all the socials as well. Estelle, Dustin Sharnicka had a great knock yesterday. He definitely much prefers batting in Asian pitches than he does in Australian pitches. I thought he was going to get us over the line. I thought there was some incredible gamesmanship, and I'm not critical of it at all, because I thought taking that review, the ball before he got out, which I thought was just so obvious that he wasn't out. But taking that review, he really kind of, I suppose, lost his rhythm, because it took so long to get the review done that was possibly the reason why he mistimed his next shot and ended up out. Otherwise, it looked to me like he was going to get us over the line, right?
Yeah, he looked in that kind of mode, didn't he? He looked like he was going to take Sri Lanka home. And just because the total wasn't an overwhelming one, right? I felt like he could even do it alone, because 160 wasn't too far away when he came into bat. But you're right, the review was taken basically, it was basically a tactical review, wasn't it? Like, I mean, if by some chance, you know, Sharnicka had actually nicked it and it hadn't bounced, that was some hope, but more to do with the time that it would take and kind of breaking up the momentum Sharnicka was building. He's had an incredible run against India, hasn't he? Like, I mean, sometimes you tend to forget the type of knocks he's played, because they're not necessarily half centuries, you know, or big knocks. But if you look at the past 12 months, or just since that 2021 World Cup, he's been pretty consistent at number six. He's been getting those runs and he's been getting them quickly. So I think one of the biggest assets he has is that he's such a good striker of the ball against pace. And, you know, most teams are going to use their pace bowlers right at the end, right? In those last 4 to 5 overs. So I think that's also another area where the top order have a job, right? You don't want Shanaka coming in the 11th or 12th over. You want him coming in 14th, 15th, 16th, right? But also just on the dismissal, I read somewhere that that delivery from Umran Malik was 155. The pace was 155. So, I mean, maybe it just was too quick as well.
I'm seeing a few comments where people are quite critical of this India side in terms of calling them an India A team or, you know, saying it's an inexperienced Indian attack. And maybe in some ways, you know, maybe, you know, Bumrah wasn't playing. There's a few others who were missing. But I mean, the strength of Indian cricket at this moment and what the BCCI have built. And all right, let's be honest, the BCCI are really struggling to get it right in major tournaments. But the quality of player that they're playing against, it's quite incredible. I don't think there was a single Indian player that wouldn't be in or around the shrunken setup if they were, you know, if they were born in Colombo or Gaul or Kandy, right? So I don't think we can underestimate this India side, even though they might be quite young, quite inexperienced. I think they are still, you know, this is a lot of these players are the players we start in the next World Cup for them, I suspect. Before Shanaka came out to bat, I was convinced that he was going to get out for, he's going to give his wicket away and get out for less than 10 runs. And I was kind of thinking, what is the point of Dustin Shanaka if he's not going to bowl himself at all and if he's not going to score runs? But actually yesterday was perfectly, it was a perfect storm for him in terms of batting, wasn't it? He seems to be really enjoying it. And I often feel with him, sometimes we nearly saw it a couple of times at the World Cup, and obviously probably most famously saw it against Australia last year, where when the going gets tough, he really does like to get going with the bat, doesn't he? It's quite something to watch. Do you think if he puts another couple of performances in like we saw yesterday, that he might be in contention to get an IPL contract if and when a team was looking for a big hitter like that, like the role he can play?
Yeah, just, I mean, looking at some of the selections in the IPL and, you know, some of the overseas picks, I feel Shanaka could consider himself a little bit unlucky. I mean, I was just going through the numbers. Just looking at the numbers, over the last couple of years, he's been one of the top scorers between in those positions, 5 to 7, right? And he's done it at a decent click. I think one of the biggest things is he really backs himself against the pace bowlers. Even if it's 15 runs and over in the last 4 to 5 overs, he really backs himself. And he's come good for Sri Lanka in most of those situations, right? But like you mentioned, I feel he's really done himself in by just not bowling at all. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there who's expecting him to bowl 4 overs, right? Nobody's expecting him to bowl 4 overs in a T20. But he needs, I mean, I think if he'd just been bowling 1 to 2 overs, kind of the way he uses Dhananjay De Silva, if he'd been doing something like that, he may have gone in that IPL auction. It's just that when you look at the players he's up against or who play similar roles to him on the international scene, you look at Jason Holder, you look at David Visser, Ben Stokes, Cameron Green to a degree, Jameson, Sam Curran, right? They're all more bowling all-rounders, you know, except for Stokes and Green, right? They're more bowling all-rounders. So like someone like Jason Holder in particular, right? The value he adds with the ball is what's keeping him ahead of players like Shanaka, right? So if Shanaka could have shown in the last few months just that, just a little bit, if he'd bowled himself a little bit more, I feel like he just makes himself invaluable if he's able to do that, right? And sad is he's captain, so he gets to decide if he bowls or not. And you saw Hardik yesterday. He took the new ball, right? you probably didn't expect that. You probably expected Malik to take the new ball or even Shivam Mavi, but Hardik Pandya took the new ball because he's captain. He decides who bowls when, right? So I'm not saying Shanaka should take the new ball. I'm saying he gets to decide, right? If he, when he wants to bowl, when he can bowl, all of that. And not doing that, I feel like he's not doing himself any favours.
It feels to me as well in the last year, I feel like he's lost confidence in his own bowling. He used to, you know, there's been moments when he's put himself up and gone, when Sri Lanka have been struggling a bit, he's bowled death overs, he's bowled difficult overs. And I thought yesterday he might end up doing that again, because I think death over bowling's becoming a bit of an issue. We haven't really solved it. And I thought he might throw himself in and, you know, just see what he's got kind of thing. And he didn't quite do that. I thought the way he managed the bowls at the beginning of India's innings was a lot better than towards the end. Again, I thought, and we talk about this so much, DDS, I thought, bowled quite well, caused a lot of issues, but didn't bowl out his overs, which I thought was quite a strange situation that we left ourselves in. But I suppose, you know, it is what it is. And these are all areas of improvement. We also know we've got a new analyst as well, don't we? So I thought maybe that's where we're starting to see. He'd let Hasaranga didn't start bowling to, I think his first over was the eighth over, wasn't it? Normally comes on as soon as the power play's over. They left him a couple of overs, and I thought that was an interesting development. Tikshana, again, wasn't used up. You know, he was used in a much better way, I thought, yesterday as well. So we are starting to see us develop a little bit more as a more tactical bowling unit, which I think is quite interesting. Estelle, let's take another quick break. When we come back, let's talk about that final over and Sharmika.
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Estelle, we nearly got over the line. Sharmika almost got us over the line. That final over, though, has caused a huge explosion of conversation on social media, because he let two balls go that he thought were going out wide, but weren't given as wides. I don't want to get into the were they wide or were they not wide, because I think that's a sub conversation that's not worth having. But I think it is worth discussing whether or not he should have gone, tried to hit them, and also where that innings that he played leaves him in terms of his place in the team. Because if you haven't been keeping up with what's been going on with Sri Lankan cricket, he did get suspended for the last tour, for the last series against Afghanistan, and he's come back into it just now. There's been a lot of talk in the kind of background about his role in the team and discipline and all sorts. So I was kind of surprised to see him in the squad in the first place, and even more surprised to see him starting, if I'll be honest. But I thought in general he had a really great game yesterday, but he is coming under some criticism for those two missed balls. Where do you stand in the whole situation, Estelle?
Yeah, look, I still think that Karunaratne is a really valuable asset in that T20 side. Yesterday, like you said, he had a really good game. He picked up the big wicket of Surya Kumar Yadav, then batted really well, 29 off two overs, batting with like number 10 and 11, right? Did really well. Then got the boundary when Sri Lanka needed it, right? In that last over, he got that six, but just couldn't finish it off. I think he does have a lot to learn, but I think he's someone who is worth kind of investing your time in as that guy who can get you 20 in two or 30 in two overs, because he seems to have that kind of ability to go right from ball one, which we don't really see that much of. I will say on the two wides, on the two deliveries that he left alone, I just felt, just tactically, in those last couple of overs, I mean, looking back in hindsight, you could say one was letting Rajitha take the single off the last ball of the 19th over was a mistake, because that meant that Rajitha was facing up the first ball of the last over when Sri Lanka needed 12. Secondly, I think if he was aware of the field placing, I don't think he would have left those two deliveries, because you had everyone square on the offside inside the circle, right? So, okay, first delivery, he thinks it's going out wide, he leaves it alone. Okay. The second one, he should have played at it. If he'd hit that gap there, that would have been a boundary or maybe a two, right? And Sri Lanka ended up losing by 2 runs. So he backed himself to get the boundaries and get Sri Lanka home, and he hit 1-6. But just, I mean, looking back, those two leaves turned out to be, you know, really, really damaging for Sri Lanka's chances. The other thing is, what I found strange was he kept moving to his leg side, right? But Akshar Patel's taking the ball away from him anyway. So it seemed a bit strange that he's moving away from the stumps when the ball is going to spin away from him anyway. So, I mean, like I said, in hindsight, you know, all these issues we can identify. But this is all happening in a split second, right, in his head?
Yeah, just to go back to that, when I saw him moving, I assume that he saw something in Akshar Patel's action or as he was running in. That obviously we can't see from the angle that we see, that made him think that it was going to go like more down the leg side. I think suddenly, you know, we've spent so much time in not me and you, but in Sri Lanka cricket, the conversation's been around him quite a lot recently. It's so kind of ironic, and it's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, that he ends up being the man at the crease to try and get these vital runs in this final over, doesn't it? And it's suddenly like that, all the conversation and all the sound, all the noise around it, and all the, you know, is he indisciplined, that he's got to kind of cut out of his head and try and make the right decisions in that moment. And, you know, maybe if he replayed that over again, it would have turned out in a totally different way. That over is an exact microcosm of why we love this game so much, and why it's so fascinating, why billions of people around the world are so hooked on it, right? Because we can discuss every single aspect of that over over and over again. And, you know, we shouldn't forget how well, you know, he was quite key in actually getting us to the point where we go into that final over with a chance of winning it, because kind of 3 or 4 overs before that, it looked like we were dead in the water, yeah. Right? And, you know, after Sangakkara had done burying him on the commentary, one of the big points he did make was, is that actually the problem was higher up the innings, right, and leaving too much to do at the right at the back end when they'd totally run out of batsmen as well. Weirdly, obviously, there was a run out of that final ball. So Sri Lanka were all out as well, and that's what, you know, the scorecards will say through history. Anyway, Estelle, there's a few comments come in. I'm not sure we can get them up on the screen or not. But I'll just go through them. Sorry if I miss your comment. Top 10 has said he completely agrees Bardika needs to sit out the next game. Who comes in? We kind of talked about this earlier. Sadira comes in. Avishka can come in. I think kind of with that, the suggestion is that we've kind of... I think we've kind of moved on slightly from needing to have somebody who's going to smash it a bit. I know they didn't fire yesterday, but the players at the top of the order, we started to see it with Kusal Mendes, definitely. And I think even Patum and Asalanka, even though they didn't do it yesterday, I think they're starting to score at a slightly quicker rate. So maybe my take is maybe Barnica isn't needed. I'm sure someone's going to go away and dig out the strike rates and explain to me in great detail on social media that actually those players' strike rates have gone down over the last 6 months or whatever. But I'm just not sure. I love this, the hypothetical explosiveness of Barnica Rajapaksa it's just not happening for us, is it, Estelle? I suppose this leads us into the next obvious question, Estelle, because there's also been a few comments about the bowlers as well, and Kamara and Rajtar. Who are you expecting to be dropped? I say, who are you expecting? Because whatever me and you decide, it doesn't really matter, because it's up to whatever team SLC actually put out. Me and you can never predict that, and there's no point even trying to predict it, right?
Yeah, there isn't a point in trying to predict it. I, you know, maybe this is cynical, but I don't see them changing up the batting. I think they might leave Rajtar out and give Lairu Kumara or Nuwan Tushara a go, but I don't see them changing up the batting, which is disappointing, because I want to see guys like Avishkar and Sadita Samaravikrama in that playing 11. But I don't know. I don't expect that to happen, not in the second game at least.
I think we need to wrap it up over there. Thank you for everyone's comments. Cricket the Tushan, we'll try and get to your comments later on. I think we've kind of covered everything else that everyone has mentioned. I know there's some comments about Dustin Charnock and the IPL, and he needs the bowl. We talked about that earlier on. We'll be back over the course of this series. I suspect the next episode we'll do will be at the end of the T20 series. We'll review the whole series back then, and hopefully we can be discussing at least one Sri Lankan victory. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast, and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado, and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!